This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
Unwavering customer service, dedicated commitment to excellence, and one of the most professional and technically proficient heating and cooling companies in the Des Moines metro area, Walden Heating and Plumbing. They set themselves apart by caring about customers just like you and raising the bar of keeping customers just like you satisfied. Walden Heating and Plumbing is here for you, so reach out to them today at 515-371-4036. That's 515-371-4036. Agape Pregnancy Center offers free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds, free STD tests, and free parenting classes because they have a passion at Agape to offer help and hope and opportunity to anyone and everyone who walks through their doors. So partner with them today, knowing that your tax-deductible gift is going to be used to directly impact the clients and patients that they serve. Get involved. Go to agapedsm.com. That's agapedsm.com. My name is Mike Damastis, and yes, I am your host today and every day because tick, 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 like that. Yeah, it's going. That's right. That's right. Clock's ticking.
Where's that 24-hour clock?
But hey, I'm really, really honored that I get to do this, and I appreciate you tuning in to 99.3 FM, The Truth. It's Tuesday, which means it's Life Tuesday. Tim Overlin, director of Personhood Iowa, is here with us today, and Ron Carlson is producing today's show.
How's it going, eh?
It's going good, eh? And I wanted to spend some time today talking about COVID's impact, coronavirus's impact upon the issue of life. I know I've talked about stuff like this before, but got some real world examples that I think that are going to be important for us to kind of dialogue through. We want to invite you into this conversation at any point. And that would be calling in at 515-727-5842. That's 515-727-5842. Have you seen an impact of the coronavirus, you know, upon the issue of life? Well, I have several people in the nursing home in our church. I shared this story before. I think I did at least, but we have one woman who, because of the throughout this whole experience from March to present time, they've had a series of lockdowns. And for a while, it was for a really long extended period at first, just because they weren't sure, you know, and there were coronavirus breakouts in nursing homes and there were concerns, all that kind of stuff. Then, you know, they would, you know, they'd say, okay, well, I think it's pretty much safe. And they'd start to even allow visitation, but it was weird. You know, you had to wear a mask and sit at a table that's 6 feet long and have a big plastic thing in between the table, the whole nine yards. But anyway, so then somebody in the nursing home would inevitably get it. So there's another 2 weeks. And what that entails for the individuals like that, this is just anecdotal, but these are the people that I minister to. They're connected to our church. They sit in a room when there's a lockdown in the nursing home. They sit in their own room, which is just four walls, and they have every meal served to them in their room. And the only interaction they have is when they get their pills or their meals. And then they get once a week, they get a bath or a shower once a week. And you tell me that doesn't sound like solitary confinement in prison.
Right.
One of the gals had expressed to her son-in-law in our church, I just want to die. Hmm. It would be better to die than to continue on in this situation. Now, another deal that there was a story written up on, I found the story off of LifeSite News that connects to my personal experience in this, is from Ontario, Canada, where euthanasia of elderly people is very common. Mm-hmm. And this gal was 90 years old, and she chose euthanasia. She was euthanized. She wanted to do euthanasia. She wanted to be dead because she said, I can't spend one more day, one more hour in this lockdown in this nursing home. So they killed her.
So is Trudeau celebrating they saved some money on their universal health care?
It's just, you know, that's part of this experience for me. And, you know, we've kind of looked at this in terms of the life issue in a lot of different angles. But this is one of those parts of this that we're not paying enough attention to. I had a Facebook, I don't know if argument's the right thing to say. But
interaction.
Interaction. but it was an interesting thing because it started off very snarky. And he started the snarkiness. I didn't start it. He did. But he was a guy that was in my wedding. He was actually my best man in my wedding. We're friends. We've been friends a long time, even though he lives, you know, in another state. And I'm, you know, we're just not really close, to be blunt. He started off with a real snarky comment, and I answered real snarkily, and then he moved to Messenger, and so we're privately having the conversation. And he's like, what's up, man? Why are you getting all like that with me? And I'm like, really? You know, you started this whole thing. I said, I answered your snark with equal snark. You know, you start off that. I'm ready. I said, we can fight in the street if you want, if we're not going to show respect to each other for all the years we've been friends. I said, that's all good. And anyway, so his daughter has been through an incredibly difficult medical experience. I get that. And so he's very sensitive to the mask issue. And, you know, I found people that have had those backgrounds that's one of those things, you know. And so we got into this whole discussion about elderly people in nursing homes and the horror that this lockdown has created for them. And he said to me, literally, so what do you want? Do you want to have more funerals? Or is it, you know, is it worth having a few people be, you know, having this problem that we're having in nursing homes? Is that worth it with the whole of the populace being able to survive this epidemic or pandemic that we're going through? And I said, I'm not playing that stupid game. That's a dumb game. You don't choose who gets to live and who gets to die and say,
how,
you know,
how you want them to die.
Yeah, that's not cool. I said, we can walk and chew gum as a society. We can figure out how to mitigate this thing without having to sacrifice certain segments of the populace saying, well, you know, they're close to death anyways. That's insane. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely insane. And that's why I really feel like this article is so incredibly sad, because there's places in the world like Canada, which is very close to home for us, by the way. But there are places all over Europe that are just like this.
There's a few places in this country that aren't too far from this.
I agree with you. And it's and it's sad. It's, I mean, Oregon's a prime example, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, if we would, you know, look, we've been down this. We've discussed this so many times on social media, on this show. If we would have just probably listened to what this 90-year-old woman taught us all along about washing our hands, you know, not coughing in each other's faces.
Right.
You know, maybe this is, and not just crammed everybody in their house and spread this flattening of the curve out for months. You know, yeah, we might have had some, in your friend's words, a few more funerals, but I don't think that's demonstrable. Because of, you know, Sarah Qualley had a really interesting post on Facebook today. It was kind of this dark painting that somebody did, kind of showing depression. And
yeah,
that's,
I saw that.
It didn't say no words on it. Who knows if that's what the painting was? But the whole point is, and I've seen lots of people say this: we are, you know, we're created to be in fellowship and to touch and to, you know,
yes.
have communion and to all these things. And to, like you said, to shut people up, as you described earlier, in these little walls, basically in a prison. And if anybody's ever been in a nursing home, they're not necessarily always the happiest places on the planet.
Right.
You know, unless you go on visiting day, and then, you know, it's like a children's playground. It's great because,
yeah.
you know, their faces light up. They're seeing family and friends. To imagine that. We had a friend who had dementia here locally, and right in the middle of all this stuff, and they couldn't go see him.
Yeah.
You know, not many of them got to see him before he died. Not many of his family got to go see him before he died. You
right.
know, it's just, it's, I think we're truly at the point where the cure that somebody has decided is the cure has gotten so much, if it's not worse, it's getting close
yeah.
to the actual disease we're supposedly fighting.
I absolutely agree with that. There's already a problem with putting elderly people in nursing homes. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some circumstances where it is warranted and it's needed, just because the care that they need is beyond the ability of the loved one to be able to take care of. That happens. There are many circumstances where, you know, mom or dad is just kind of dumped there because they don't want to be burdened with that. And those are some of the saddest scenarios. So imagine that situation. We already have children that don't, you know, don't really come visit very often.
Now they have the excuse. The government says they can't come.
Yeah, right. And that individual just loses all hope. There's no reason. Why do I want to live like this? I don't want to be like this. I don't even get to see the people that are in my building. You know, and it's, my heart literally breaks over this. And I hope you do too. I hope that you understand that this is a really big problem. And it's not just local, guys. This is all over the place. And we are saying these lives don't matter. You know, and I literally had that said, by the way, by a fellow believer. You know, so that's a big deal. I'm not sacrificing anybody, and I'm not playing the game that, well, some are going to die and whatever. We don't choose that. How do we get in? That's situational ethics, you know, and that's just not going to be the way that we're going to go with things. So I'm just, that's it. But this is, it just breaks my heart, you know, because we got to pay attention to this, you know, and we've got to start pushing back, saying, no, this is not right.
Isn't your friend making the old argument that we got, you know, what? Probably about the time you and I were in school is when they were doing this.
You got five people in the boat.
I mean, isn't he basically saying, well, you know, yeah, you know, 90-year-old grandma, you know, let her take that pill. That's fine. At least my daughter's safe.
Right.
I mean, really? You know, we get patted on the head as conservatives when we talk about this is where we're going with universal health care, with all of this stuff. You start worrying about the quality or the value, not the sanctity of life.
And, you know, I talked about this, maybe it was last week. The guy that is Eugene Emanuel, that's been the doctor that's been tapped to head up the COVID, you know, whatever, you know, response team for Biden. He's on record saying that people over 75 are going to be the last to get the vaccine. Because that is literally picking and choosing.
Somebody can have mine.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. Well, anyways, hey, we're here all day. No, we're here for this hour. But we want you to jump into the conversation with us at 515-727-5842. We'll be right back after this break.
This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
Onimus beef is an incredible thing to put into your diet. I love Onimus beef. Tim Overland next to me loves Onimus beef. It's some of the best beef on the planet, and it's very nutritious. This is great stuff. And he has like a David Onimus, the farmer that you will order your beef from. He has a philosophy, and the age at which he takes these cattle to heaven, you know, they I don't know how else to say it.
We call that going to market.
Okay. He takes them to market.
There you go.
I always feel bad when I'm down on the highway and see the truck filled with, you know, the cattle or the pigs. And it's like, oh man, they look so, I know, right? But he's got a philosophy about it. And I mean, like even, when they separate the calf from its mom, they do so in a way to lessen the stress on the animal. They try to keep this as stressless as it can possibly be.
Does he do like my mom did when we used to bring home puppies and, you know, they'd whine in the bed and they'd put them, she'd put a little, one of those, she'd wind up a clock and wrap it in a blanket so the heart, the the puppy thought it was a heartbeat? Does David? We don't have to ask him.
No, he doesn't do that.
Oh, okay.
But like when he does separate the calf from the mother, he keeps them in fences where they can nuzzle through the fence easy. So it's not like a fence that divides them, although it is. But they actually have access to the mom. The mom has access to the, and it keeps them, you know, calmer. And that's a good thing. He has a belief that he doesn't want a lot of marbling in the meat. And the thought is you're getting more meat and less fat out of that. So you're getting more money or more bang for your buck on a deal like that. It's just really interesting the way that he does it. And he does it in a God-honoring way. The way that he treats the animals. I mean, a lot of farmers don't care. It's time. Pull them from their mom. Don't even care. You know, just get over it. But you know, he even considers those kinds of things. I just think that's neat. I just tell you all that because the beef that you're going to get is fantastic. So reach out to him today at 515-238-7505. That's 515-238-7505. My name is Mike Damastis. I'm the host here on FaithWorks Live. Very honored that you have joined myself and Tim Overland, the director of Personhood Iowa. I would encourage you to join in our conversation. We've been talking about the effects of COVID on the issue of life. 515-727-5842 is the number to call, and we'll put you right up front. I want to talk because there's been so much discussion about Thanksgiving. And there are a number of states that are banning people from having Thanksgiving. Good luck with that. But that's really what is happening. It's kind of interesting. The governor of New Mexico, and her name is Michelle. She's got a middle name, but her last name is Grisham. So Michelle Grisham, governor of New Mexico, she is saying that there is no possible way they can actually enforce this. But they actually telling people, don't do it.
And that's like saying you can go 10 miles over before the speed camera gets you,
right?
To let you know what you can get away with.
Right, exactly. or the radio stations in the morning that tell you, you know, where they're parked up,
taking pictures.
And so those are interesting things. But we kind of have a ban, I think. I don't know. A suggested ban here in our state about Thanksgiving. When Governor Reynolds gave the press conference where she issued kind of a mask mandate and lessened, we all know after 10 p.m. in a bar, the infection rates for COVID just skyrocket.
Yeah,
as
long as you get home by 10:59,
yes,
man, you are.
Thank you,
golden.
God, that she saved us from, the 10:01 p.m.
She's taking that corona part of the coronavirus seriously.
Absolutely. But she did put a lot of restrictions on at that point, and she went into a personal story about sacrificing Thanksgiving, and it's really hard on her, which I do probably, I think that that's probably very true. She is a loving mother, a grandmother, and she loves to be with her family. She does. I know Governor Reynolds, and I know that she doesn't want to have to do that, but she's doing it because I think that she's kind of bought into the line of all of these mitigation efforts are actually working and helping. And I want you to know very clearly, I do not think that the coronavirus is a hoax. I think it's real. I think it's a virus that can wreak havoc on certain people's lives. But those people probably have pre-existing issues medically that are going to cause them to be more vulnerable. And if you're in one of those categories, you should act with a lot more responsibility in where you go, how you go, where you go, all that kind of stuff. And so, I think that should be on the person that's more vulnerable with this virus than just the average Joe. I don't know. This whole thing has...
I always think back to the old West movies and shows I used to watch, when they quarantine, the person that was actually sick. Not
yeah,
all the
right?
healthy people.
Like in the Bible, what the Bible says to do.
Yeah.
But this is a crazy thing. And I've shared it with others. Even if I had 57 family members that always come to my house for Thanksgiving, I would still do it. I don't have that many family members here, but even if I did, I would do it. Am I being irresponsible? Heck no. I believe that I'm not going to sacrifice being with my family out of fear of causing a super spreader event. You know, and I remember, you know, Matt Walsh said this, so this isn't original with me, but the moment they began to say that it is okay to go out and protest, but, you know, you can't, whatever, go to the grocery store, mm-hmm. That they lost all credibility. They, you know, Matt Walsh's words, they're all frauds when it comes to
right.
this.
Or I can't go down to my locally owned Ace Hardware, but I can go over to Home Depot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. I mean, there's so many examples that were just...
Yeah, you can go to the casino, but, you know, worship on Sunday morning? No way.
Right.
You know, there were so many. And then you got the people now that are still the, you know, proponents of all these strict, draconian efforts of mitigating this virus. They'll say, well, it's a new virus and we're learning as we go. Come on, man. I want to kick him in the...
Common sense.
Yes. But it really is driving me nuts. And they keep asking for more and more sacrifices. You know, hey, the elderly people, there's going to be some sacrifices we have to make, you know. And Thanksgiving, being with your family and making connections that are, you know, really important. Ah, we all got to sacrifice.
Christmas just isn't going to happen this year,
yeah.
guys.
Baloney.
So and, Curtis jumped in here.
Yep.
He says, how many more freedoms are the American people willing to give up because of COVID? This is ludicrous. Liberal yeah. governor saying strip clubs can remain open, but churches must close.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's so crazy. It's asinine is what it is.
And if you think about all these press conferences, right, they tell you if you're going to be within so many feet for more than 15 minutes. And it's like, wait a minute, are we timing? It's like when we start spouting these silly things off, our you know, it's the logic just goes away because it's like, wait a minute. So if I'm going to sit here next to you for 13 minutes and I get up and leave the room and come back, you know, give it a few minutes till everything's settled, then I come, then we're okay.
Right.
It
is absolutely insane. And anyways, we're going to continue our conversation. I want you to know there's a connection to the issue of life, by the way, and Thanksgiving. That's why it really makes me mad. But I want you to jump in. 515-727-5842. And we'll be right back after this break.
This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
So glad that you're joining us today. I want to let you know that Iowans for Life is the longest standing nonprofit ecumenical organization in the state of Iowa. They were formed back in 1972 with a mission to advocate for the dignity of human life from fertilization to natural death. So learn more about who they are and go to their website, iowansforlife.org. That's iowansforlife.org. My name is Mike Damastis. I'm the host here on FaithWorks Live. Tim Overland is the director of Personhood Iowa. He's with me every single Tuesday. And Tim, what's going on right now in the Personhood Iowa realm?
Well, if you're watching online, you can see I've got the person hoodie on and the beanie. So 'tis the season for that. If you've opened your curtains yesterday and saw that snow come down, but we have those available. You can go to prolifechristmas.com and do some shopping. You can select Personhood Iowa as your smile.amazon.com. You can help us out. And we're sending out regular updates. You can text the word personhood to 31996. That's 31996. Text the word personhood. We're not going to hammer you. We'll probably do 2 to 3 a week unless there's something going on. Hey, get to the Capitol. Hey, we need this. And that's how we're going to be communicating with folks. But, that's really what we're doing. We're kind of getting ready for the upcoming legislative session. And really the message I'm putting out for people right now, which you can be doing, obviously focus on your family and Thanksgiving and the upcoming Christmas holiday. But maybe if you don't know who your state senator or representative is or your county supervisor or your city council people are, maybe just get that together, and maybe after the first of the year, that may come in handy.
Right. Well, I am. I'm glad that you're joining us for the discussion that we're having today. We're talking about the impact that COVID is having upon the issue of life, and we just got done talking about Thanksgiving and the protocols. Where you know you have many states now that are urging and downright banning people from having a Thanksgiving service in their own home with their family. And so, just getting away from anything else, it's an egregious overreach of government to tell you what you can and cannot do in your own home.
I mean, reading a book on the revolution right now, and they're talking about, you know, quartering troops in your home and doing all this kind of stuff. I mean, this is what the wars start over.
I know. And it's just insane. And what I hate about it is that people that are very concerned with us, you know, talking about our personal liberties in lieu of the mitigation efforts that they're doing, they're saying that, you know, we're the ones with the problem. You know, I'm like,
We're being selfish.
Yeah, right. Here's the thing about Thanksgiving, and then we'll get off this topic. Thanksgiving is, I think, of all of the holidays that we are blessed to experience, it's the most important one that we have. Christmas is good, but Christmas has been so commercialized and marketed, and you know, it's kind of, for most Americans, Christmas is about making sure you get the right gift, and that whole thing has just kind of, I don't know, it's just gone nuts. That's why I love Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is about relaxing with people that you love, eating a meal together, and recognizing, man, no matter what is happening, we've got a lot to be grateful for. And if you think about the history of Thanksgiving in America, from the very first time the Pilgrims sat down with Indians to eat, and I guess that's not right to say anymore either, gosh. But when they had that first meal, and together with people that didn't even really know the God that these people worshiped, they were just saying, hey, we're taking a moment now to eat this meal, and just together, even with you, we want to tell God we're so grateful for everything you've done for us. You've saved us, literally, yeah, by bringing these Native Americans. That's such a dumb thing. But bringing these Indians to us to help us, and they did that. And so that's a powerful thing. But it was also done in the midst of such a brutal and harsh winter that they had survived. And they wanted to give thanks for how the ways that God had worked to save them. And then, you know, you look when it was officially made into a holiday as our nation, Abraham Lincoln, in the middle of the most brutal, terrible division in our country. And he established this time to say, hey, we got to give thanks to God. Everything around us is horrible right now. And we've got to be able to say, we're still grateful. God is still blessing us. And that's powerful. You know, that even, because God is good in the good times, and God is good in the bad times. And I think it's a powerful thing. We can't sacrifice this. It's too important. And we need to push back, because we need to be together as a family. We need to be able to, no matter what's going on, if there's a pandemic or a civil war or whatever, to be able to say, God is still good.
What if you get run over by an Amazon truck on Black Friday? I mean, then you missed out on Thanksgiving, right?
Oh, my.
We live so much fear of the future. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. And the what might happens, you know, that stuff is just, it's killing our souls, and we've got to push back. So, you know, my encouragement before I get off of it, please have Thanksgiving. Don't sacrifice this. It's too important. Now, let's move on to I've touched on this. I've dealt with this because the Pfizer company, Moderna, both have these new COVID vaccines. Both of them, we have hopefully been able to demonstrate to you that they are using aborted fetal tissue, either in the production of the virus, which is Pfizer, or in the testing phase of the virus, which is Moderna. And we, you know, so we know now, even though Donald Trump said that there wouldn't be at one point, he made us a clear statement, there's not going to be any aborted tissue in these viruses, or in these vaccines, excuse me. That, so now there is, we know. So what does that mean for you as a believer? First off, get off that topic and just go to the simple side of, this has been really rushed through.
Mm-hmm.
How many Americans, you know, are ready to be first in line for Operation Warp Speed? Yeah, I saw that article, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a very, Tim's showing me an article. It's a very interesting thing. Go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, so I was pulling up LifeSite News where, by the way, if you're going to get your pretty solid, generally good news, Life News, it's LifeSite News is the preferred site. But so I was pulling that up, and this headline popped up to me. It says, former Pfizer VP, quote, no need for vaccines. The pandemic is effectively over.
Right.
So he's not buying all this, and basically he says that it's such nonsense that there's no need for vaccines to extinguish the pandemic. I've never heard of such nonsense about vaccines. You do not vaccinate people who aren't at risk from a disease.
Yeah. So also, when you share that article on Facebook, it's blocked.
Of course.
And it'll tell you, you have to like click the, go ahead and see the link. You don't have to do that. And it'll give you, more importantly, the thing, you know, see why this article is, you know, not factually correct. And their whole point is in that they say that he no longer is with the company, and that he was saying this before the resurgence of numbers this fall. You know, and so that's their whole reason.
Yeah. Can I say something about the LifeSite News before you jump into this one? Because it's going to go right in this thought process. You know, I love my Catholic friends, you know, Maggie and those guys. But, man, opening up LifeSite News for our Catholic friends, it's got to be getting brutal with all. Because, I mean, that's one of the good things about LifeSite News is they will call balls and strikes fairly for both sides. And if the Pope or the church is messing up, they will let you know about it.
Yeah.
So, man, opening that up is just brutal.
I want to connect it to this whole vaccine thing. I want to talk about this. There's an article they have on LifeSite News about a bishop out of California, which means that, you know, he's going to be drawn and quartered for saying this. But he is encouraging Catholics, not just encouraging, warning Catholics not to take the COVID vaccine because of the very reasons I just suggested to you, that it has aborted fetal tissue strains in the development of them. And so he's saying this. And again, this is an article. If you share it on Twitter, you can't get it. You can't share it on Twitter. And if you share it on Facebook, it gets covered. And, you know,
notice.
Yeah. So it's insane. They don't want this information out there. They're going to do everything they can to suppress this. Isn't there like a Bible verse somewhere that says people who suppress the truth and what God does with it? I don't remember. Anyways, but this is really interesting. His stand is, you know, the same stand that I have. And praise God that there are Catholic bishops out there that are willing to take the heat and actually live out what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the sad thing. It's just one more thing for many, many, many a nominal Catholic to ignore. Because there are priests out there that teach what their church believes. And there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Catholics that simply ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad. That's really, really sad. So we want you to jump into the conversation at 515-727-5842. We're going to be right back after this break.
This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
I want to tell you about a special place, Interventions Healthcare Clinic. They've got two separate locations. One is at 1355 50th Street in West Des Moines. The other is on the south side of Des Moines at 500 Army Post Road. This is a fantastic organization. They do great work. One of the greatest things they do, in my opinion, is the abortion pill reversal. It is such an amazing thing. They've helped now, I think, close to 10 gals. That's over awesome. Over the time that they've been here, that have taken the first part of that pill. And you got a 48-hour window. And then they reach out to somebody and say, I don't want to do this. I want to back out. What do I do? And so they help them. And so that's an amazing thing. And it's funny because I mentioned it yesterday on the show, and my co-host Dan Hudson yesterday, he's like, he didn't even know that was possible. And that's a really cool thing.
Great, yeah.
It's a wonderful thing.
Did you hear did you see their news, breaking news?
Yes,
with them today,
yes.
Where they had the gal from Unplanned in?
She actually told me that yesterday morning when that, because she was so excited about the news. And the gal so the whole thing is there's the gal from Unplanned.
I can't remember her name.
I know.
Bracton or something like that.
Yeah, she actually has a foundation now where they give money to a woman that has backed out of an abortion for whatever reason. They'll give money to her for a full ride scholarship to college. And I don't know if there's a list of colleges they choose from. I don't know how that works. But anyways, you know, so one of the recipients nationwide was chosen, that was a client at Intervisions Healthcare Clinic, and she was an APR, an abortion pill reversal gal.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, which
That's
is
awesome.
Really cool.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they chose her, and then, you know, Teresa said she didn't even know this was happening. She had called her, and she said she's coming to her studio later, or to our clinic today, and the one on Army Post, and she said, and she doesn't even know that this is happening. And so she was so excited because she's going to come in and get this big fat check.
Yeah, the
you
big
know?
Price is Right check and stuff. Well, she flew in from Atlanta in the middle of a snowstorm, so that's good,
right?
Good on her.
So it's just really cool, and mm-hmm. I, you know, they do great work. Well, anyways, I you know, we've been talking about COVID mitigations and how it's impacting the issue of life. One of the things before we get off of this, you know, the Catholic Church has had a hard time recently. You know, the many, many nominal Catholics just don't care what the churches teach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many, many nominal Protestants don't care what the church teaches.
How many denominations are there? Something like 25,000 or something kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's
thing.
Insane. Here's the deal with Roman Catholicism. There are many points that I would say I disagree with doctrinal positions that they hold. But when it comes to the issue of life, when it comes to the issue of marriage and family, I'm right with them. And not always for the same reason, but I'm right with them on these issues, you know, and when you look at the teaching of the church on that, it's solid. But, you know, there's so many Catholics that kind of have that. I know what the church teaches, and that's how they live, you know, and they just ignore it outright. I was watching from LifeSite News, by the way, an article had a video attached to it of a school board in the state of Washington where they were having a meeting, and one of the trustees on the school board was really throwing a fit about the fact that she believes the board is utterly homophobic and that they need to be they need to have sensitivity training from, you know, whatever state agency. And one of the other board members stood up and said, well, you know, here's what we need. We need to have a Catholic priest come in and share to us the church's teaching on these issues. If you think we're homophobic, let's see what the church teaches
about it.
Because
you didn't say this part in the intro. This is a Catholic school.
Yeah.
This isn't the public school. This is a Catholic school.
Yeah. And so, you know, the gal was arguing against that. And she said, you know, well, the thing that I would say, if we're going to allow him to come in, then he better be teaching the same thing that our Pope is teaching. Because the Pope is very pro-LGBTQ, you know, and so that's kind of the rub, you know.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I said this, I feel bad sometimes for some of our Catholic friends. I used to always kind of half joke with Maggie and say, you know, I feel bad for you guys because it goes all the way to the top. You can't just like move to another church. You know, if I'm in Pastor Mike's church and he starts teaching some kind of nonsense, I can go pick another one down the road. It's not like, you know, with that hierarchy that's set up in the Catholic Church. You know, kind of what the Pope says goes. Now, you're starting to see people start to speak up a lot more, you know, when you get social media and stuff. But, you know, that's a tough thing, and
well,
it's hard.
Here's the deal. And I believe that this is doctrinally and biblically correct, that part of our membership requirement is that you understand that Star Wars is better than Star Trek.
Well, there you go. So
we're not going to have any Trekkies in our church. That ain't happening. So
don't listen to him, man. He's a hoser.
No, I just, you know, this is an issue not just for the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. This is an issue for every Protestant church as well, where you have people that will say, you know, just replace the word church. I know the Bible says that, but
yeah,
you know, and then fill in the blank.
It's, you know, we were talking off air. Look, it goes back to the first, did he really say that?
Amen.
You know, it's... the disciples, wasn't very long after Jesus left, they were starting to break off into their own little, what about, and so, yeah, we're flawed, fallen, and we're a mess, and it's just easier to get to at our fingertips these days.
I've been kind of surprised. You know, I thought I've done an effective job of teaching the people of my church that God says, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid, you know, for I'm going to go with you no matter what you're facing. And we've just kind of thrown that one out and we have become terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are people, even in my congregation, that get angry when I talk about that, because they feel like, well, I'm not being afraid. And I'm not talking about just ignoring any mitigation effort. I'm not saying that.
Don't go run out in the middle of I-235 and play in traffic.
Right.
That's not what we're saying.
But I am saying, like President Trump, don't let this dominate your life.
Mm-hmm.
A man, by the way, who got COVID and recovered from it, like 99% of people do. And so I just think that we've, you know, okay, take, you know, wash your hands a lot more. If you are about wearing a mask, wear a mask, you know, do whatever you need to do, social distance. I don't care. We do some of those things in our church, but you can't live your life afraid. And what's happening is that it is not only eroding freedoms, which is happening. I mean, it's where it's clear, but it's also convincing us who is the one that wants us to be isolated. Who wants us to be isolated from other believers? That ain't God.
Mm-hmm.
The government's telling us, you know, can you honestly say our government, no matter what level of government, can you honestly say the government is God honoring? You know, in a country where over 60 some odd million babies have been slaughtered? No. So I think we need to trust God. We need to live our lives. And to be frank with you, I think we need to let this virus do its thing, mm-hmm. just like any other sickness. Let it do its thing. I don't want anybody to die, but you know, we're already having people die. By the way, people that wear masks have gotten the virus and died. And
people are losing their entire, life's work with businesses. And, you know, we talked earlier in one of the segments about people, you know, that's so dark and shut off. People are killing themselves. And, you know, what about all that stuff?
Right.
You know, those numbers are, that's avoidable.
Yeah.
You know, those are the avoidable things. Somebody that's sick may get COVID, or people, I know there's been people who said, well, I didn't have any of that stuff. Well, you know, that stinks. And you know, sadly, our days are numbered, but we don't get to pick that. And like you were saying in the last segment, don't throw out your celebration of Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the other things, birthdays, whatever it is, just to sit in your house because you're afraid.
I know.
What a horrible existence.
It is. And I don't know. I believe you can do both things. I believe that you can try to live your life in a careful way so that you're doing things responsibly for your own health and for the health of other people too. Mm-hmm. I think you can do that, but I also think you can also live your life, you know, and not have to, you know, worry and fear and be anxious and stay tuned to the TV news, which is all gloom and doom 24/7, no matter what channel you're watching. And I just think that, you know, we need to turn off the news. We need to live our lives and, you know, trust that God is with us, because he kind of said he is.
Yep.
That's the scoop. So, hey, guys, thanks for hanging in today with the show. I really do appreciate it. And I really sincerely, with all my heart, want to wish you the happiest and best Thanksgiving you've ever had. That's one, you know, bright spot for me out of this year. Our Easter celebration at church was literally an Easter I will never forget. And it was powerful and it was wonderful because we were together. And I'm going to encourage you to not forsake Thanksgiving. Be with your family. Enjoy that time. God bless. And we'll see you again.